The biblical culture of the ancient Near East and of Greek culture is a wisdom culture that values the old, the elderly. In fact, the older you got, the more valued you were in culture. And we no longer live in a wisdom culture, at least not in North America. We live in a youth culture, where youth and young adults are the most valuable parts of our society by practice. And this morning we get to push back against our culture a little bit and to revisit a wisdom culture. And so this morning I'm going to invite Roger to introduce his special guest. We just read in the Psalms about, you know, you get 70 years, maybe 80. Well, our special guest has got 95, is that right? 89, I don't know where I got 95 from, but 89 is pretty good. And so I'm going to invite Roger actually to come and do the introduction here and to introduce a special guest for this morning.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. I would like to go right into this interview as quickly as we can. I just want to draw your attention. There's an insert in your bulletin, a news release about a family from Cuba that we're planning to bring here to Manitoba early next year. And this is a couple that have birthed a church in an environment that has been very oppressive and very opposing to the gospel and to the church. And yet the church has not only survived but thrived. And maybe some morning I'll be able to show you a five-minute clip from their church, which is just bursting at the seams. But it's been through prayer and through intercession and praise and worship that they have birthed new things. And that's the importance of these praise and worship times that Elaine talked about. It's not just about coming together, have a good time, but there are things in the spirit inside of us that God wants to bring to manifestation. And Elizabeth Larson, who's going to be interviewed here this morning, she can testify to the power of prayer and the connection between that and seeing the supernatural manifest. And so I just like to challenge our thinking to make prayer a priority. I know it's always challenging to find a time when everyone can come together and pray in one accord. But, you know, it's got to begin in our families. It's got to begin in our personal lives. And I pray it's going to spill over more and more into our congregation and into our community. Because when Jesus comes, he said, my Father's house, it'll be primarily, yes, it'll involve teaching. It will involve fellowship. It'll involve communion. But he said, it'll be a house of prayer for all the nations. And so before I call Elizabeth up here, I'd like to show a quick PowerPoint. I'd like us to read these scriptures together. If we could put that on the screen there, Joel, I'd appreciate it. Let's read these scriptures together before we call Elizabeth up. O my people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open up my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Tell the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded to our ancestors to teach their children so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, that they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness, and I will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all your prayers. Be alert and watch with purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints. Amen. Amen. I wonder if we just have these chairs maybe on the platform so you can maybe see Elizabeth a little more clearly. That would be helpful. Thank you. I just want to mention that 40 years ago, we as a fellowship joined the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies. That's where Peter and I, for example, have received our ordination. And, you know, it's important, even though we believe that God is raising up the local church in every community that's free to hear from God, it's important that we be a people of prayer so we can birth in every community what God wants to do in our community. So we've had that in the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies, but there's also a relational connection. For example, my papers are signed by the church that Elizabeth Larson attends in St. Anne, Manitoba, right now. And her pastor is Earl Taves. He signs my papers. So if I ever get out of line or do something you don't agree with, you can talk to him and say, you deal with Roger, you know? And so we're not here as freelancers doing our own thing, but we are accountable and responsible. I sign papers for those within this fellowship that are ordained, but I also am related to the larger body of Christ. And so Elizabeth's father was a man by the name of Ole Forseth, planted the very first FCA church in Canada back in 1913. And I'd like to welcome this time his daughter, Elizabeth, who's now 89 years old, but some of the stories she has to share. I know there's others in the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies want to hear some of these stories. We're going to put this on the internet where other churches are going to hear about our legacy. And we believe that God is raising up a new generation of people that will hear from God and it will go out and see the mighty acts of God happen even more in our generation. In fact, talking to Riley just yesterday, who was at the Uprising gathering, there was a statement made that the age level at which that is leading most people to Christ today, you know what the age is that's leading the most people to Christ? The age is 16. And it was at age 16 that there was a Christina Larson, another Larson, who started meetings in Weldon, Saskatchewan, where both Elizabeth and her husband pastored at one time. Marge and I pastored there in that same church in Weldon, Saskatchewan. These churches were started by young people who were people of prayer. So this time, I'm going to ask you to please make welcome Elizabeth, if you'd come forward and just find a chair. Thank you. It's up there. Okay, thank you. Okay. You can can use this mic, okay?
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay. Check, okay. Well, welcome, Elizabeth. Larson, yeah, you might want to hold the mic there so you can all hear it okay, but she said she can speak loud if she needs to, so we're looking forward to what you have in your heart to share this morning. Can you tell us a little bit about your father, first of all, Ole Forseth, and about his life as you remember as a child who birthed the first FCA church in Canada?
My father and mother, of course, came from Norway back to Canada, to Alberta, way back, and there's so many things he told that I'll only just tell very few things, but he had just become a Christian when he came here, and he felt a burden in his heart that there was something God wanted him to do in Canada. So as he was milking the cows, they got a few cows when they came, he was milking the cows, it seemed like God was telling him that he should start to hold services and talk to the people. And he kept saying, well, you know, God, I'm not a minister, I'm not a preacher, I don't have any experience like that whatsoever. But anyway, it just seemed like this just kept coming to him over and over and over again that he needed to do something. So then one day he said, okay, God, this is what I'll do. Tonight I will have a service in my house and I will invite a few people to come. And if you will save two people in that service, then I will go into service for you. So they had the service in the house that evening. Two people got saved in the service. And that's how he went into the ministry and started the first church up in the Grand Prairie area. I think most of you will know where Grand Prairie is, so I'll say Grand Prairie. It was really Buffalo Lakes. It's a little store that they had, and they called themselves Buffalo Lakes people, but actually Grand Prairie was 25 miles away and is today, of course, quite a large city. So that's how he started having services, and he built the first church there, and that church is still going strong today.
That was in 1913 when they built the church there in Buffalo Lake. And that church is still flourishing today in 2017.
Yes, they've built a new one since that, of course. The first one was pretty small. Mm-hmm. So now they built a larger church, which now seats about 250 people. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So in those days, you had a priority on prayer in the life of the church, mm-hmm. did you not? Mm-hmm. And can you tell us a little bit about your own experience of prayer in those early days when you were a girl, raised in your family in that area?
Dad built a log house, of course, out of logs when they came from Norway. And it wasn't a very large house. But anyway, it was warm. He made sure he had lots of stoves in there. I think he had about four stoves in the house to keep it heated. And I can remember they had prayer time in our kitchen sometimes where a few relatives would come in and they'd have prayer time. I remember I was 3 years old at the time, and I would go and crawl behind the wood stove in the kitchen and lay back there, and I would lay there and listen to them praying, and it always seemed to have some effect on me. I thought there's something kind of special about this, so whenever anybody came to our house and they would have prayer, I would go and crawl behind the little old wood stove and lay there and listen to them praying. So, of course, when I was 9 years of age, I decided that I needed to accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior, too. So that was when I first invited Jesus to come into my heart. And I remember I knelt by a chair in the kitchen that night, and I cried so much that there was a big pool of tears by my chair. And my mother came with the wet mop and mopped it all up. And I can go back to the house today and show you the exact spot where I knelt and accepted the Lord as my Savior.
And this is when you were 9 years?
I was 9 years old.
Wow. So that's the atmosphere you saw role modeled in your parents.
Yes.
And in your family, in your home. It began there.
When I was 13 years of age was the night that the Lord baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And I remember that night very well as well.
At 13 years of age. Wow. And then as you became a teenager, when you became about, say, 18, 19, your late teens, tell us what type of prayer meetings you experienced in those days.
Well, when I was 15 years of age, my mom and dad decided to move to Edmonton. And, of course, they became a part of the first church there when Pastor Crane and Pastor Rasmussen were the pastors. Pastor Rasmussen came from Chicago and started that work. They called it the Edmonton Gospel Temple. And that was when my mom and dad moved to Edmonton. And, of course, I was 15 at the time. So I came along with them and started attending the services there. And then eventually, of course, that turned into the Bible College. They started a Bible College where Pastor Ed Crane and Pastor Rasmussen were the teachers. And I started attending the college only once in a while because I had a job by that time. I worked for an insurance company. And at 5:30 every day, when I was done, I knew that there was meals being served at the church. And by then, they had started a Bible college and in a small way. And so I would rush to the church so I could be there and join in with the evening lunch. And then immediately following that, they would have prayer. And sometimes those prayer services would go on till 2 and 3 in the morning. And of course, by then, the streetcars had quit running. So I had no way to go home from there. And so there was one student in the school that had a car, and he would take me home at 2 in the morning after the prayer service. And then I had to get up at 7 and walk 4 blocks to a streetcar to go back to work again. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, and that was a time when I really felt myself really growing in God and having a real meeting with Him.
So this was in your late teens, was it, in early 20s?
I was 15 at the time when I was working at the insurance office, and I was going to the church every day after I was through.
And so you would go to work, you'd come home, you'd have supper, you'd go to the prayer meeting. It would go for what, 6 hours, 7 hours?
No, I would go from work straight to church.
Straight to church?
Yeah, because they had the Bible college started and they would serve meals right there for the students.
Wow.
And so I would go in and join in the supper meal with them. And then immediately after that, they would have prayer time. And those prayer times would go on till 2 and 3 in the morning.
And did you get tired?
It didn't seem like we ever got tired. I guess if I would have, I probably would have had sense enough to go home, but I guess I just never was tired, so I just kept doing it. And that was how I met my husband, of course, was in Bible college. Leroy Larson was his name. And we, of course, got married.
Well, how did you have time to date? If you were in prayer meeting?
That's how we dated. He took me home from prayer meeting.
He took you home from where?
He took me home from the prayer meeting.
He took her home from the prayer meeting.
There was no streetcar at that time of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning. So he was the only one in the school that had a car. So he would take me home. So, you know, that was pretty nice to know somebody that had a car.
Well, were you in Edmonton, the Edmonton Gospel Temple, say in the late 40s, around 1948? In that time frame?
Yes.
Do you remember the worship times there? Do you remember during the worship ever hearing the angelic voices, angelic choirs? I know I've heard stories of the latter rain movement, how there used to be such powerful praise and worship there at the Edmonton Gospel Temple in those times.
Well, you know, I was a working girl at the time, and of course, we stayed there late, and I'd get pretty tired and go home, of course, and to get asleep before I went to work the next day. But I remember there were so many ways that we heard singing and different things in those prayer services that, you know, right now, when I think back to it all, I don't know if I can kind of discern it all exactly, how it all fell into place. But I know there were a lot of miraculous things that took place in those prayer services at that time. I remember that.
And you didn't get bored in church?
No, we were never bored.
Because God is always...
We always wanted to be there.
Doing you want to be there.
Yeah. We wanted to be there because we didn't want to miss anything.
Wow. Wow. Can you recall any, even from your time both in Buffalo Lakes and in Edmonton, and then I think you went on to pastor with your husband Leroy a church in Valley View, Alberta?
Valley View was our first pastorate, yeah. Right? We were there for 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how is that church doing?
It's doing well today, yeah. They knew nothing in Valley View Church about Pentecost or anything like that. But the very first winter we were there, a revival broke out in the church, and people started coming in and getting saved. And they knew nothing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And eventually some of them started getting filled with the Spirit, even young people that were 13 and 14 years old. And that church today is still thriving and going on well. Yeah.
Amen. Wow. I understand they built a new facility there even recently?
Yes, they did.
In Valley View?
Yeah. The pastor that's there now, he was 13 years old when I taught him in his Sunday school class. Now, I don't know if I should say this or not, but he always said this, which made me feel good. You were the best Sunday school teacher I ever had, he said. And he's still pastoring there today.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've built a church now that seats 1,400.
1,400, wow.
Yeah.
So you have mentored some of these young people that are today leading churches like the one in Valley View.
I still phone them. I still talk to them. I still, you know, keep them in my mind, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of the supernatural results you saw in answer to prayer, that you see a connection between prayer and the manifestation of the life of the Spirit? You saw that there was a definite connection, I believe, in your mm-hmm. lifetime.
Yeah, well, we saw a lot of people's lives that were transformed and changed. I'm in touch with a couple now. His name is Mr. Harback, and he was superintendent of schools for many years at Valley View. And he became a Christian. And he was accidentally in an accident where, I won't go into the details of what happened, but his brother accidentally cut his right arm off at his wrist, so he never has had a hand. And you should hear that fellow play his guitar today. He just wraps a wooden peg around his wrist, and he sings and plays his guitar all the time. And he was the superintendent of schools, so that was one miracle. And there were a lot of miracles, of course, if you start to go down the line, but there were a lot of young people that got saved, gave their hearts to the Lord. I guess I could just probably name off dozens of them, but you know, a real good work was started there in Valley View that is going on real well today. Yeah. So, and then we went from there to Weldon, Saskatchewan, and in Weldon, Saskatchewan, we built. The church there was just so small they couldn't use it anymore. So my husband built the first church. Not the first church, he built a church and a parsonage in Weldon, Saskatchewan, which is still there today. Yeah. And so, of course, as far as I know, Weldon work is still going on. Good. We had as many as 25 and 30 young people in our young people's class there in Weldon. It's just a small town of 200-300 people. And we used to travel through the country quite a bit and hold services and take the young people all with us, and they would sing and play and whatever, yeah. So that was Weldon. And from Weldon was when we went to Fort McMurray. And the little church there was so small that you couldn't get 100 people in if you had a Christmas program for people to attend. So my husband built a church there now that seated 400 people. And we brought in a house from the river. They were bringing houses in on the barges from another mine area that they were getting rid of, so we just brought the house off the river. My husband put a basement in. We set the house on the basement, so we had a place to live. And that was Fort McMurray. And then from there, we came back to Edmonton and helped along in the church there.
So I see a pattern that everywhere you went, from Buffalo Lake to Valley View to Weldon to Fort McMurray, everywhere you went, there was an increase mm-hmm. in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the church was better off and stronger when you left than when you came.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that there were people coming to faith in Christ
mm-hmm.
on a regular basis.
Right.
In all of those. Mm-hmm. This should be normal Christianity, should it not?
Yeah. Well, we should.
Yeah.
We should see God changing lives, that's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
Which is what most places need. A lot of people that have lived in real desperation have come through to a real salvation in the Lord, and today their lives are just shining lights wherever they are. So it's good to think about it, that God does wonders, and he's doing them all the time.
So when you came out to be with your son Dennis, who lives in Blumenort right next to us, that was about 2 years ago?
And this last May, I came the end of May last year. Yeah, that's when I came.
Okay.
So I've already been there over a year, yeah.
I know when Glenn Forsberg was with us here a year ago, you were here in the service with your
mm-hmm.
son, Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you ask the people in St. Anne when you came to attend church there? What do you remember what you asked the people there at the church in St. Anne?
Well, I hadn't been there very long before I asked them if they had a prayer meeting in their church. They said, no, we don't. And I said, well, every church needs a prayer meeting. So we've got prayer meetings now. The very first prayer meeting we had, a grandmother was there. She was crying. She was crying, crying, crying. So I went to her and I said, why are you crying? She said, my daughter just had a baby. They don't think the baby is going to live. And this was going to be her first grandchild. So I said, do you happen to have a picture of the baby? She said, no, but I have it on Facebook. I said, okay, come here to the front of the church, hold out your Facebook. We all gathered around the Facebook, held our hands up over it, and prayed for the baby. The baby is doing well. The grandma's smiling from ear to ear, and I just saw a picture of the baby. It's a beautiful baby. Already 2 or 3 months old now. So that was the first miracle in our prayer meeting.
And I understand there's more people gradually continuing to...
The prayer meeting is growing. Yeah, it's growing.
It's growing.
And that's... Pace, I got to tell you this. My son has a big white sheet of paper, and on it he's written, my mother says it pays to pray. He has that hanging on his wall.
Yes, what a legacy.
Yeah.
It pays to pray. We're so glad we could hear some of this, Elizabeth Larson, before, or while you are still here. I wondered if you, do you believe that? I think God saves his best for the last, eh? And that there is going to be an even greater movement of prayer and of manifestation in the coming generation than what we saw even in your day. Do you believe that?
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it all. I think when you read scripture, it pretty well brings that out, that there will be a time of real going back to God. Yeah.
So you're not just talking about the good old days and how good it used to be and we need to get back. No, you're saying there's something greater.
Yeah.
And you're believing for the next generation.
That's right.
And we want to honor you as somebody who's left us a legacy and an example that can encourage us to press into this in a greater way.
Like I say, it pays to pray.
Wow.
You'll never go broke if you pray.
Amen. Wow. I have something here, Elizabeth, I want to share with you. And if any of you here has a question or anything you'd like to ask her before we pray together, we want to have a prayer this morning for Ivy Friesen, as well as for Ruth Friesen, two people that are in the hospital in... Steinbeck right now. But I was talking to Glenn Forsberg just this last week, and he gave me permission to make this presentation on behalf of the Canadian Fellowship of Christian Assemblies Heritage Awards Committee. And at the top of this little certificate, it talks about a spiritual heritage. One scripture says, "We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord and his power and his mighty wonders." And then the other caption says, "Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts, and let them proclaim your power," in Psalm 145:4. So the Canadian Fellowship of Christian Assemblies Heritage Awards Committee, under Chairman Glenn Forsberg, acknowledges that they have honored the legacy of Leroy and Elizabeth Larson for long and faithful service in the Canadian FCA at their national convention in 1983. But at that time, the FCA in Canada was limited primarily to a number of Alberta churches. In view of the fact that the FCA has now expanded right across the nation, by the year of 2017, Glenn Forsberg and the FCA Heritage Awards Committee have, on this Sunday of November the 19th, 2017, authorized Maranatha Niverville to again honor the significant, well-recognized, and established legacy of Elizabeth Larson. For over 70 years of long and faithful service as a prayer warrior, an intercessor, and a spiritual mother to many within the FCA family and beyond, to the body of Christ in the nation of Canada. This is signed on this 19th day of November in the year of our Lord, 2017, with our church's insignia. I'd like you to receive this.
I'm sure there must be many others.
Yeah. Amen. And if you want to take that, that's right. Her first instinct, of course, is to say there's other prayer warriors, you know, that she realizes this is not just her as an individual. But it's important for us, if we are to build on a solid foundation, that we honor those that have gone before us. And we sing the song many times that God is enthroned upon the praises of 1,000 generations that have gone before us. If we honor those that have gone before us, we are going to be able to go further. And I'm going to ask Peter if he might come, and maybe David and Daniel, if you'll come and stand with me, those that have ordination with the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies. Maybe David is in the Sunday School, I'm not sure. Any other others who have their ordination in the FCA, feel free to come and join us. But any questions from anyone that you'd like to ask, we'll just pause for a moment here. I'm just going to lead out in prayer. And I'm going to join myself to you, Mrs. Elizabeth Larson, for the legacy of prayer you have made, and we're going to be in agreement for greater things in our day. Yes. And we especially want to pray this morning for Ivy Friesen. Some of us have been visiting her every day this last week in the hospital. She's still standing on the Word of God strongly. Amen. She's still fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. She's going by that which is unseen, but her spirit is strong, and we want to stand together with her and with the entire family. Any of the family members here? I think Holly said she was going to be here. What about Shara? Any of the family here? Maybe not. Okay. So we're going to pray. Would you want to lead us out in prayer first, Mr. Then we'll have Daniel and Peter pray as well, okay?
Oh, you know their names. I don't.
Okay. Just for Ivy Friesen.
Yeah. And okay. What is her problem, do you know?
She has cancer of the brain.
Okay.
Ivy Friesen.
Heavenly Father, today we come to you, and we are not ashamed to come, because we know you are our Heavenly Father. And so we come believing that you care for everyone who loves you and who believes in you. And so we pray for this sister today too. You see her lying there in her room. You know everything about her. You know every place in her body that's hurting. And so, God, we just bring her to you today. And we want you, O God, to just look down upon her today with your loving kindness, with your everlasting love, with your tender mercy, with your healing power, and pray that you will just touch her and heal her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Lord, so she will be able to step forth and honor you in all that you are doing for her. And so we just believe, God, that you will just heal her and set her free from every pain that is in her body today. We thank you, God, that you love her. We thank you, God, that you long to heal her. And so we thank you for that too.
Amen. Yeah.
That you will touch her, Lord, and make her strong again. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we come into agreement as a body this morning. We come into agreement from generation to generation to generation that your word is true and that nothing is impossible for you. And we call upon your name this morning and ask for our sister Ivy, Lord, that you touch her body, that you bring healing for the cancer to be pushed back to go. And Lord, we just ask for your fatherly touch over that whole family right now, over Merv, over Ivy, over Shara, over Holly, Lord, that they would know your presence, that they'd know your goodness and know your strength and power this morning.
Amen. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of God. In his name, we have the authority as sons of God to do what he did, to say what he said. And so we speak forth healing in the name of Jesus to Ivy, to Ruth, Father, because you said so. In his name, that name above every other name, we put our confidence there. Thank you, Father, for this testimony this morning from Mrs. Larson. Father, we thank you for this legacy. We receive it, and we embrace what she shared to ourselves. This thing about prayer, Father, that we will be a people of prayer. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So, Lord, we stand in awe of your mighty acts. Your word tells us again and again to remember your works of old. And now, Lord, in our generation, you are the same God today as you were yesterday. You are the same God today, and you're the same God forever. And, oh God, in our day, you are a God who manifests himself. You are a God who reveals himself to those who seek. And so may we be a people that are tapped into the realm of the Spirit, that there will be manifestations of your power and of your life that will make everyone in our nation aware that there is a God, that he's alive and that he's well and he's in the business of saving people, because our help will not come from man, our help will not come from the earth, but our help will come from heaven to earth. Amen. And so we pray together. And ask us all, as we pray for his kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We do not pray to your Father or my Father, but we pray to our Father altogether. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask Jeff to come and just close off the service. Thank you again. Let's give the Lord another hand, please.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you so much, Mrs. Larson, for coming and sharing. This has been a rich, rich morning. The only reason we're following Jesus today is because somebody before us came and told us this good news, and somebody before them came and told them that good news. And this is the way it's been working for 2,000 years, which is incredible. And it's just been a privilege just to hear Some of these stories going back to 1913. That's crazy. It's a long time ago, 114 years ago. God is faithful. So if you would like to come for prayer after the service, there'll be people here who can pray for you, and maybe even Mrs. Larson will be willing to pray for some folks if they want. But feel free to come, and if you want, just go and be blessed and have a wonderful Sunday. Amen.